The crucifixion are just around the corner. And in this multitude of images, this teaching, Jesus is preparing the 12 for their impending loss. He's preparing them for his going away, as he says. Not surprisingly, there was much that he said that night which continued to perplex and to raise questions in the minds of the disciples. So we come to chapter 16 and the title of the sermon, Everything Changes, A New Vision. The outline for the sermon is on page 4 of your service sheets if you want to follow along. Throughout what we call Holy Week, Jesus was in the temple courts for hours and hours and hours teaching. And surrounding him was a tremendous anticipation on the part of the people that the messianic hope that had so dominated all of their thinking would finally be realized. The 12 here in the upper room are full of expectation. All the promises they know by heart from the Old Testament are about to be fulfilled. And then, in fairly stark language, Jesus tells them something that looks like the complete opposite of the fulfillment of any hope whatsoever. Reading from verse 16 in our passage, he says, "A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you'll not see me. And again a little while and you will see me. And because I'm going to the Father." So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We don't know what he is talking about. They expect something wonderful. They hear something, and they have no category. They've got no way of understanding. They're mystified. He will be with us no longer. He's going back to the Father, and then we'll see him again. What is going on? Once upon a time, I traveled for a summer vacation to Vancouver. And I went to a cash machine. I lived in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan for almost a decade at this point, and I needed to get a little cash out of the cash machine. So I put in my card and I pushed the wrong key. And instead of English instructions, Mandarin Chinese instructions came facing me. I thought I knew what was going on, and I had no idea what was going on as I was facing the cash machine. I had no idea what to do. And I think these verses from John should give us some great comfort. The disciples don't realize that Jesus is speaking to them of the cross and the implications, the necessity of his going is just darkness to them. And so much of the Christian faith, even the most rudimentary elements, seem sometimes pretty vague and sometimes even incomprehensible. There was a famous preacher in England called Charles Simeon. And a little boy and his family sat in the front pew so that they could carefully listen. And the little boy turned to his mother and said, "Mummy, what is he going on about? I do not understand." Yet, with spiritual hindsight, Jesus promises they will understand what's going on, what his death achieved. They will come to see the real meaning of Easter, the transforming power of the events of the cross. For Jesus going will bring a new vision of what life is all about. Throughout the final discourse, Jesus is talking about the cross. It lies just a few hours away. While the disciples are confused as to what he means, he gives a clue to understanding. He uses two different words for the word see in verse 16. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me. The King James Version gets this right, and it says, a little while, and you will behold me no more. Again, a little while, and you will see me. See me no more. Behold me no more. Their present kind of seeing with their eyes, with all of the advantages that supposedly has, you will behold me no more. And then again, you will see me sometime in the future by faith. Not by sight, by means of the Spirit, who will reveal Jesus to them as they recollect the only thing that he left them, his word. You'll see me no more with your eyes, but you will see me with your spirit. The second kind of seeing is what describes the true nature of Christianity as we await the final coming again of the Lord Jesus. You will see me again. He will rise from the dead and he will ascend into heaven. And we wait, as Sean taught the children, a little while for his return. Well, what are the characteristics of this state of waiting to see him again? Jesus uses the phrase, truly, truly, King James, verily, verily. He says it twice. Once in verse 20 and once in verse 26. And when Jesus says, verily, verily, we have to sit up and take notice. It's like when Paul uses the word therefore. Something's coming. It's really important. Truly, truly, I tell you. The new vision, the new life of believers in the new age of the Spirit, achieved by the cross, has two distinct characteristics. The first thing is transformation, character of transformation of our new life. Look at verse 20. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. Well, this is quite enigmatic. He doesn't explain all he means by it, but one thing for certain is clear. The cross must, first of all, bring sorrow and weeping and lamentation. Blessed are those who mourn, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. There is a sorrow. That word is repeated three times in verse 20, 21, and 22. There is a sorrow we must endure for the sake of the gospel, diametrically imposed to the reaction to the cross of the rest of the world when Jesus says the rest of the world will rejoice in verse 20. The cross meant sorrow. It meant the end for these 12 men. The judgment of God upon human beings, death, an agony unimagined, forsakenness. Why? Because of sin, because of the world's triumph over the Son of God. But this is not the final state of things. The very thing which causes them the greatest pain will bring the most joy. Transformation will occur. And please notice, this is not replacement. It's not that their anguish is going to be replaced with happiness. Instead, the sorrow they must endure will be fruitful, as John Calvin said. The same thing which causes suffering will be the source of joy. In case they don't understand, Jesus illustrates by a picture of childbirth, verse 21. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow, there's that word again, because her hour has come. But when she's delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. A woman finds herself looking at her newborn child at the first glimpse. And then she finds herself in her child as she holds it. All is changed. All is transformed in one instant. So the disciples, and so we too, we find ourselves in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. The purpose of the darkness and anguish of the cross and our consideration of it is that we might die to ourselves and live. Now, if you've got your Bibles, turn back to Isaiah chapter 26. More than any other Old Testament book, Isaiah figures in Jesus' thoughts and his words. And this passage, Isaiah 26, beginning to read at verse 16, combines the figure of the woman in childbirth, the phrase, a little while, and the promise of resurrection. Isaiah 26. O Lord, in distress they sought you. They poured out a whispered prayer when your discipline was upon them. Like a pregnant woman who writhes and cries out in her pangs when she's near to giving birth, so were we because of you, O Lord. We were pregnant, we writhed, but we've given birth to wind. We have accomplished no deliverance in the earth, and the inhabitants of the world have not fallen. Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy, for your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. This helped generate the idea of the popular metaphor of Jesus' day, the birth pains of the Messiah. The cross brings sudden transformation when we realize, when we are embraced by the gospel, by the truth of what the death of Jesus has achieved. All the varied circumstances of our life are touched and affected by this realization, this transformation. After we come to understand the significance of the forgiveness of sins, we are possessed by a deep-seated joy, which powerfully transforms all the circumstances and difficulties and sorrows that we experience. Now we have joy, absolutely independent of the world. The cross, when we see it, brings transformation. And secondly, it brings a new age, the age of the Spirit, in which our relationship to God is transformed as well. Verses 23 and 24 of our passage. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. In that day, when we are possessed by the realization of the achievement of the cross, and that day can be this day, that day can be right now, when we are possessed by the realization that the cross transforms every sadness into joy, and we're delivered of the need of a go-between acting as an intermediary. When we get the cross and we see that we don't need an intermediary between God and us. We have direct access to the Father himself, and we can go straight to him on the basis of the cross. We have the Father's heart as soon as we place before him, in the name of Jesus, crucified and risen, our requests. Here is the great new reality of the new age brought in by the death of Christ. We ask, we petition God the Father, and he answers in the name of Jesus, giving us joy which will never end. We may have to wait patiently for that answer, but the promise is sure. Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. This is the nature of true Christianity, for we await the coming of the Lord when we will see him again. We live under the mercy in lasting and complete peace. Lives and the experience of God now rooted in what the cross has achieved, the forgiveness of sins, the transformation of pain, and the coming of joy, leading to unfettered blessing as we pray in the Father's will. One of my very favorite artists today is called Bruce Cockburn. He's a Canadian composer, a folk singer, a master guitarist. And in 1975, he released an album called Joy Will Find a Way. And there's a song in that album called Joy Will Find a Way, a song about dying. It's a prayer and an affirmation of what we've discovered from John 16. Joy will find a way. Everything changes. We see in a new way. Bruce Cockburn wrote, make me a bed of fond memories. Make me to lie down with a smile. Everything that rises afterward falls, but all that dies has first to live. As longing becomes love, as night turns to day, everything changes. Joy will find a way. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Gail is now going to lead us in a time of prayer. And part of what we try and do in our congregational prayer time is to reflect a little bit on the content of the sermon just given. And so without putting any pressure whatsoever on Gail, we'll listen now and let her lead us in a time of intercession.
Let us pray. Father, as we pray together this morning, we ask your Holy Spirit to light a fire in us, to light us on fire, to quicken our minds and hearts to your majesty, your glory, and your will. Fill us with joy in believing and trusting and obeying our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. And let this form our prayers and then form us to be your kingdom agents, kingdom catalysts, kingdom seeds in this broken world, all to your glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, there are so many things we are grateful for, and we ask and we thank you for your bounteous, abundant, and extravagant blessings. Help us, we pray, to have grateful hearts and minds, always open to enjoy your blessings and give thanks and praise for your goodness to us. But also help us, we pray, not to hide from or ignore our brokenness and the brokenness that we have unleashed upon your good creation. We thank you, Father, that floodwaters have receded in Fort McMurray. We pray for safety for everyone working to try and restore what has been damaged and for resources to be able to do this work. We continue to pray for everyone suffering from the acts of violence that took place in Nova Scotia, for all who are grieving, angry, and afraid. We pray for the friends and family of the 6 military personnel who were lost in the helicopter crash near Greece. We pray for the friends and family of all who are gravely ill or who have lost their life to COVID-19. Father, we pray that in the midst of so much loss, the broken hearts of all who grieve are open to your Holy Spirit, bringing the comfort, hope, and resilience that can only come from trusting in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, we pray about the fallout of COVID-19 in our neighborhood and province and country and around the world. We pray for the anxious, the vulnerable, for those who are lonely and feel cut off while they're required to stay isolated from friends and family. We pray for our elderly and care homes, and especially for the confused who are not sure why they are so isolated right now, and for their friends and family who are worried about them. Almighty God, who are afflicted in the afflictions of thy people, regard with thy tender compassion those in anxiety and distress. Bear their sorrows and their cares, supply all their manifold needs, and help both them and us to put our whole trust and confidence in thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Father, we pray for safety from disease and burnout and despair for all people working to care for us and our loved ones in care homes and hospitals, our food supply and delivery, public safety, government, and in areas behind the scenes we don't know about. Prosper and protect, O Lord, all those who labor at tasks that can be dangerous and difficult during this pandemic, that they may be preserved in safety and health, and grant that knowing the dangers which beset them, they may ever take thought one for another and be sustained by a sure trust in thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for your church during these difficult times and for the ongoing ministry of the Anglican Network in Canada. This week we pray for our brothers and sisters in Annick Parishes in St. John's, Newfoundland. The Church of St. Stephen the Martyr, who describes himself as a group of ordinary people who love the Lord Jesus Christ and who are committed to knowing him better and following him more closely each day and to sharing God's love with their neighbors. And the Church of the Good Samaritan, who say, "In our church family, you will find people from all backgrounds and walks of life. With our unique personalities, we come together to worship, grow, and serve." We pray that as these two churches meet together only virtually for the time being, that they stay united in their commitment to each other and to loving and obeying and growing in Christ and sharing this good news with their neighbors. Father, we pray for our bishops in Annick, Bishop Charlie, Bishop Stephen, and Bishop Trevor, and the clergy in our Annick churches, as they find ways to help us work together as the body of Christ when we can't meet together in person. Father, we pray for our church, St. John's Richmond. Please help us stay strong together in Christ, even as we are apart in many ways. Please comfort, inspire, and encourage our ministers, Sean and Guy. Help us and Sean and Guy to find ways to share your gospel even though we can't meet face-to-face right now. Please bless Guy's work leading the training to raise up lay readers in our congregation, and send your Holy Spirit to encourage and inspire the participants to mature in Christ as they learn. Lord, in your mercy, Hear our prayer. Loving Father, we pray for Esther and the family of Howard McElveen, who died on Wednesday. Our brother Howard was a founding member of St. John's Richmond, and we give thanks for a life well lived in loving and trusting and serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray for your comforter to embrace and support everyone who misses Howard and is in grieving. Father, we lift up to you Rachel and pray for swift and complete and final healing of her skin. During this terrible time of affliction, we ask your Holy Spirit to pour comfort and strength into Rachel and Francis and Nancy and Ethan, helping them cling to and trust in Jesus as their Savior and Rescuer. In a moment of silence, let us lift up to our Father the people or the circumstances that he would trust to him. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer from the Anglican Catechism for dedication and commitment to God's will. Almighty and eternal God, so draw our hearts to you, so guide our minds, so fill our imaginations, so control our wills, that we may be completely yours, utterly dedicated to you, and then use us, we pray, as you will. And always to your glory and the welfare of your people, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And I will pray the prayer of St. Chrysostom, and please join in. Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time to bring before you our common supplications, and have promised that when two or three are gathered together in your name, you will grant their requests. Fulfill now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of your servants as may be most expedient for them, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth and in the world to come life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you, Gail. Krista and Guy, have you any notices? I would like to just remind people that we are continuing our Wednesday morning prayer Zoom service at 8 a.m. And that sign up comes out in the congregational update on Tuesday. Anything else, Guy or Krista? Just shake your head or nod if you know. Guy is good. Krista, I have to find you on screen so I can see you.
I'm here. I unmuted myself.
Okay. Is there anything you wanted to?
Yeah, I just wanted to introduce the final hymn today, hymn of the month. So okay.
Yeah.
Now that April is finished, we kind of need to leave room for lots of traditional Easter hymns that are wonderful to sing. And our hymn of the month typically takes up the whole month at the end of our service. So we'll return back to that. Looking at the hymn, I Feel the Winds of God Today. You will recognize the tune. We sing this melody now to three different set of lyrics. One is for Palm Sunday, No Tramp of Soldiers' Marching Feet. Another one is, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say, Come Unto Me and Rest. And this one, as you can see, has different lyrics. But the music is an English traditional folk tune that conjecture is that it's at least several hundred years old, but this arrangement was done by the composer Ralph Vaughan Williams at the turn of the 1900s. And the lyrics to this hymn were written by a woman around the same time. And it's poetic language. Some of the words that we sing as a congregation are straight biblical texts. Some are straight theology with less of an emphasis on the composer towards the poetic side, and some are biblical truths that have more of a poetic bent to them. And I think this one is one of those. You might compare the text of this hymn to the much more recently composed Christian worship song that we sometimes sing called Oceans, which uses the imagery of being out on the ocean and Christ calling us out onto the ocean as a metaphor for calling us into a trusting life, living our lives in trust of him. So there's a similar theme here, and we'll just quickly talk about a few of the images, and then I want to ask you a question before we sing it, and we'll talk about it again next week. So a few of the important imagery that we find here, there's the reference to a bark in verse 1. Maybe we could put the lyrics back up, actually, if possible. But in verse 1, it says, if hope but light the water's crest and Christ my bark will use. That's a small boat, but that's important to know when we're singing it, otherwise it might be confusing. I already mentioned that the sea here is a metaphor of us being on our journey through life. And then in verse 3, if ever I forget your love and how that love was shown, lift high the red blood flag above. It bears your name alone. And it's worth making sure we understand this is referring to Christ's death on the cross and salvation. And here, I think it's getting to this idea of a flag or a ship raising a ship raising a flag of identification of the boat, where it is from and to whom it belongs. And for us then, we are asking God to remind us that our whole identity is based on the fact that Jesus died and rose again to save us. And then finally, the idea of lifting our sails in response to the winds of God. We see that in the very first line and the very last line, it's repeated. I think this is signaling our willingness to cooperate with God. So my question to us as we sing this hymn, you may already be quite familiar with it, it may be brand new, but my question is, so what are the winds of God in this? And how can we connect that poetic image to what we know is revealed in the Bible? So we'll talk more about that next Sunday. And if you have any thoughts, if you're compelled to think more about this, feel free to give me an email and share your thoughts with me that way. That would be fun for me to read and helpful as I prepare to discuss what are the winds of God in this song, what might they be. But now let's sing it.
Spray and toy with many a reel.
Well, I want to end the service with a reminder of the transformative blessings that we have on the basis of the cross. First of all, that our sorrow will turn into joy. Those are the words of Jesus. And second, direct access. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Also the words of Jesus. And brothers and sisters, may these blessings be upon you and remain with you always, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now we'll enjoy some virtual coffee together, coffee and tea and conversation, as I unmute everybody. Get ready. It's great to visit together. And thank you for joining together, coming together this morning as we've worshiped virtually, but really in our hearts and minds.
The other way.
Okay, so just before I unmute everybody, please make sure that you're not having, that you don't have any extra background noise at your house, like other media, music or TV or anything else going on, just so we don't want to have that in the background. Okay, let's try again.
Wasn't Christmas?
I know.
There we go. Yeah, it wasn't Christmas. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Our service.
Hi.
We're all unmuted now, so we can hear everything you're saying. Brett, Willie, I wanted to thank you for your being responders this morning in the service. That was great.
Thank you for the chance to do so.
Thanks.
I want to know if Lise Johnson has organ pipes behind her in the room.
She does. She does.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Did he send that tape, bro, to you?
Yeah, on his phone. Wing by to see them. Yep.
I can hear you.
Lorna, are you there?
It's lovely that Marion is on. Welcome.
Yes, hi, Marion. Nice to see you.
Hello, Marion.
Hi, Marion.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Hannah. Nice to see you. And Mary.
Yes.
Mm. You could be together.
All right.
I know. Some people less like listening.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Brian Rudnick. Are you still with us now?
Yeah, Sean, I'm here. Hello. Good to see you guys. We
miss you too. How are things going in Switzerland?
Oh, pretty good. We come out of lockdown soon in about a week.
Oh, good.
Good. So biking hard. Gwen and I want to take some bicycle trips. We're thinking of biking to Geneva, which is, I don't know, 500 kilometers. So.
Oh my!
Wow!
It might be a lot less of us. Yes, again. I'm kind of upset today. I'm actually upset with Guy, because my hair is just
as long.
I'm feeling very Puritan this morning.
I was thinking more robot.
That's called hair envy.
Absolute hair envy.
Can I ask a question of the Scots? Hello, you guys. Good to see you all. Where are the girls? Are they? They're not with you this weekend?
No, I get the girls back tomorrow, and they're looking forward to an online church.
Fantastic. Good. Good. I miss them already. That's great.
How do I go back? Do I just do clothes? Okay.
Yeah, you're welcome.
This all this, I think.
Yeah. I'll just send everybody a message.
Yeah. Hi, Sarah. Hi, Jesse.
God bless.
Feel the wings of God.
Oops, there's the music again.
There's the music again. Julia, are you knitting?
I'm crocheting. I'm working on a baby blanket.
Oh, wow. Crocheting.
Nice.
Impressive. Good work. Oh, there's the music again.
Wow, who's playing that? That's beautiful.
Is somebody actually...